Paula Saunders' new novel, Starting From Here, is a portrait of a young woman striving for greatness. It's 1973, Rapid City, South Dakota. At the center of a family struggling to keep afloat is Renee, a young girl who dreams of becoming a dancer. With the support of her mother, Eve, whose own dreams have been dashed by life's many demands, Renee is sent to train alongside stick-thin sculpted girls in Phoenix, then on to Denver and beyond, encountering along the way a sequence of eccentric, sometimes dangerous characters, creepy dads, mean girls, predatory radio announcers, kindly ex-opera singers, sham teachers, and cult leaders, all on this journey that will transform her from the inside out. Starting From Here is a story of facing the challenges and terrors of girlhood, drawing upon details from her own life, including leaving home as a young girl to study ballet. Saunders weaves a coming-of-age saga that both takes us back to the 70s and yet seems extremely current today. It is a great pleasure to welcome Paula Saunders to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you on the program.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's really nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, congratulations. The book comes out today, and it's, I assume, nice to have it out in the world.
It's very nice to have it out in the world, and it's nice to have an opportunity to talk about it, actually. So, yes, thank you.
What brought you to want to talk about it, that brought you to want to discuss something that had a relationship to what you had gone through and wanting to explore that in a deeper way?
Well, many things actually that are happening today brought me to want to talk about this book with other people. And that is, like, we've lost Roe v. Wade. So, girls in their trajectory at this point, they've had a very difficult road in going from young girls to going to young women. That transition is always treacherous for young women, I think, in this culture. And now we've lost Roe v. Wade. We're hearing all about the Epstein files. So the kinds of things we're seeing in the book aren't going away. As a matter of fact, it seems almost like the culture is doubling down on this. So, yeah, so I do want to talk about it because of that.
I mean, you hope as we all guide our way through life that we learn from our mistakes and we learn from our collective mistakes. And when you read something like this and you see the tide turning and going backwards rather than forwards, I'm curious as to how you look at that of sort of an opportunity that was lost to say, okay, this happened to a lot of people and it didn't necessarily have to happen to a future generation.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. And, what turns the tide backwards? I wish I could say, I love to believe in progress. I love to believe in the idea that we're going to move from knowing less to knowing more, from understanding less to understanding more. But, kind of when you look at the culture and how it works, that doesn't seem to be the way that it is. And so I think we need to recognize where we are, and at least for young women, to be aware and to be advised is beneficial.
Tell us about Renee.
Renee is a young girl who is very kind of spunky and has a lot of grit and is kind of ready to make her own dreams come true, but she's faced with a lot of obstacles. I think because she's left home at 15, she is she's on her own, and she doesn't have the kind of guidance that we would hope that young women would have. So she's subject to the whims of the culture and the pressures of the culture. So for me, what happens in the book is that Renee is put kind of into relief. Her experience is put into relief so that it's highlighted. So what's highlighted is the culture's pressure on her and how it affects her. So I think all young women go through these kinds of pressures that she experiences, but most aren't isolated the way that she's isolated. And so that comes to kind of show what young women are experiencing through what we see her experiencing.
These would be difficult obstacles no matter what age, but the fact is she's 15 years old, and that's really difficult to be released into the world at such a young age.
It is. It's very difficult to be in the world and on your own at that age. And you know, we see now, it's very disturbing what we see with the Epstein files. We see these young girls who are 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, right in the age that we're watching Renee go through this book. And we see that these vulnerable girls are vulnerable to powerful figures. So this is really disturbing today, and it was really disturbing then. And as we said earlier, it's disheartening that it hasn't changed, but it's worth looking at, I think.
How much of this, I mean, obviously this goes in many corners of life, but bring the dance world into this of how that really, in many ways, it seems to exacerbate the problem.
I think it does. I really think it does. Because in the dance world, at least in my experience, when you're studying to be a professional dancer, a professional classical ballet dancer, one of the things that happens is you become very cloistered. You're really only focused on your single goal. And so the world outside that other people are experiencing are having experiences that you're not having and having conversations that you're not having and gaining understanding that you're not getting. So then you end up very vulnerable at that point. But, you know, I mean, in terms of writing this book for me, I heard a quote from a woman named Patrick James, who's a medicine woman in the Cheyenne tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that an elder had said to her that if you can't bring your own experience into your life and integrate it, then you're being a dilettante. I thought that was really powerful, really powerful. And it really expresses how I feel about the work that I'm doing, because the main thing I'm trying to do in my work is kind of bring my experience to myself. Because as you said, as a ballet dancer, you don't have that kind of broad understanding and broad exposure that you would, even if you're going through high school, going through college. So, you know, I still have that work to do of looking at that experience, bringing it into myself and integrating it into my life. And this writing for me, writing this book, writing the book before, has to do with all of that kind of very kind of deeper work for me. And I do think it speaks to other people, too, because I think we've been through, a lot of us have been through similar experiences.
As I mentioned in the introduction, that you left home as a young girl to study ballet, as does Renee in the novel. What goes into that decision, and how much of that was your decision and even Renee's decision, and how much of it is a family decision?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. That's kind of hard to parse, I think. I think Renee was very determined to get away from her family. That was one of her goals. Her family is very difficult, very much in turmoil a lot of the time. So one of her goals is to get away from her family. Another of her goals is to study her art, and then she also has to grow up. So that's what she has to do, being away from her family. Within her family, I think her mother and her family is kind of always overwhelmed. So getting rid, or not getting rid of, but you know, sending off a difficult child who has these difficult goals is probably a relief when I think of it. You know, so because the mother had a lot of battles on her hands. She has an alcoholic son. She's got a husband she's always battling with. And she's got this daughter who's, you know, who's talented and really ready to develop her art.
Paula Saunders is our guest. The new book is Starting From Here, a novel. It is published by Random House and out today. You talk about her talent, but one of the things I found interesting in the reading of the novel is that this is a girl who is picked on and bullied because she's so good. Right? I mean, it's there's jealousy there because she's very good at what she does.
Yes, that's really true. And, You know, that's maybe that's true among adolescents. You know, I'm not, that was my experience for sure in my adolescent cohort. But I think that probably is not an uncommon experience in adolescence, but particularly when you choose kind of a very select artistic goal and you're kind of going toe-to-toe with other people who have that same kind of artistic goal. There's a lot of competition. And I think that, you know, people feel it.
And Renee is trying to figure out the world as any adolescent would, but trying to figure out her place in it and very much alone in that regard of where it's going to be, how it's going to be, and getting what she wants.
Yes, yes. Renee has a very hard time trying to figure out all that stuff for herself. So she's subject to so much suggestion. You know, I mean, I think, you know, you see the point in the novel when Janet comes in as one character who influences her so strongly in terms of her own sexual development. And so she just wants to, like every young person, I think, she doesn't want to be weird. She doesn't want to be abnormal. She wants to keep up with her peers. So there's a lot of pressure in that way.
She has a
tough road, I think. She has a tough road. I think all adolescents have a tough road. And I think all adolescent girls particularly have a tough road because of the pressures of the culture.
So talk about that. I mean, we mentioned this at the beginning of where this story takes place in the 70s and where we are now and renewing a lot of those pressures. But then you renew those pressures and then you add new pressures on top of it, right? I mean, that's what struck me as being so significant.
In the book or right now in the culture?
Right now in the culture.
Yeah, right now in the culture, that's really true. Yes. I have two daughters who are older now. They're grown women. But I saw them going through the same kind of things that I went through, the same kind of difficulties that I went through as adolescents. And I have a real soft spot for young girls going through that phase because it's a treacherous phase. It's a difficult phase to figure out. And in the culture, there's no sympathy for it. You're either, you know, condemned or you're sexualized or you're, you know, kind of made to seem boring or prudish. You know, there really isn't anywhere to go that says, you know, you're okay. You're a developing young woman. You're choosing your way in life and you're finding your road. So I have a lot of sympathy for those girls. And you're right. Today, there's a lot more pressure than there was. You know, there's the social media pressure. There's the kind of open hookup culture pressure. I don't even know what pressure there is anymore because I'm more out of it than I used to be. But I know there's more.
How does this, in your mind, differ from The Distance Home, your previous novel?
It differs a lot in that the first novel really covers the whole family. In the first novel, I tried to go really from the kind of beginning of the family all the way through to where most of the characters in the family are deceased. So it covers a huge span of time, a big span of time, and also it changes point of view. So in the first novel, I'm shifting point of view back and forth, so everybody kind of has their say or has their point of view expressed. In this novel, let me just go back and say that in The Distance Home, it ends with Renee, the main character in this book, leaving home at 15. And this book starts with her having left home at 15. So it's a continuation. But in this book, I stick with Renee's point of view strictly. I'm strictly in her point of view. And I really follow her experience from the inside. And just her experience, only from the time she's 15 until she's about 18.
Was that a challenge in the case of also integrating other experiences and how others feel through that one character and the one voice?
I think that was a challenge. It was. I had to be kind of very careful in terms of how I depicted everything and careful in terms of how I expressed her voice and how interior I wanted to get. I didn't want to be too interior, but I didn't want to be not interior. It was a challenge, but I think that's kind of one of the things I liked about it, actually. I wanted to move from, you know, varying points of view to a single point of view and challenge myself that way.
You talked, I mentioned this in the introduction about Eve. And as you say, this is something that you've written about in the past, but tell us about Eve and really of someone who's had life's, you know, really batter them around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Eve as a mother in the late 50s, early 60s, she's straddling. You know, she's straddling two kinds of generations for women and two kinds of ways of living for women. So she's a really vivacious person. She's got a lot of goals and a lot of energy, but she has the life of a 1950s housewife, and she has the desires of someone in the kind of the late 60s who wants kind of women's freedom and women's power, and she wants to make her own money, and she wants to, you know, just do her own thing. So she's straddling those two kind of generations, and that's a real difficulty for her. And then she sees her daughter having all this freedom to move out early, to pursue her dreams, which Eve didn't get to do. So, it's kind of this mother-daughter connection, too, in the book is very important, and I hope very strong, because that's a difficult situation in adolescence and in this particular time period. And with these particular things at play, it's difficult for them.
Because you look at the situation through those eyes, and you can be sympathetic, but you can also be resentful.
That's right. I think both of them have that right to be both sympathetic for each other and also resentful of each other. Yes, because I think Renee feels like, hey, you know, where's the support I need from you? And Eve feels like, hey, why didn't I get to do this? You know, why didn't I get to try this? So, yeah, they both have those feelings. And then they have to come to some kind of, you know, reconciliation. They have to come to some kind of understanding. And I'm hoping that at the end of the book, you see them kind of coming together and working together and trying together, which is really, really important for point for me to have come to in the work. And I think I hope it'll be nice for readers too.
I have to ask, because I was struck by it, of the pace of the novel. These are very short chapters. It's almost at the pace of a thriller. And that's fascinating to me, because the subjects are so deep and what you're dealing with is so important and so penetrating to the characters. Of keeping the chapters short and keeping everything moving, keeping the trains going on time.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah, wonderful. I'm glad that you saw it that way. That's really heartening for me to hear. Yes, I like the short chapters. I think they kind of give it a snappy kind of feeling with a very kind of deep underbelly. So I like that. I like that a lot. I studied with Toni Morrison, and she once said to me a long time ago, we were sitting in her kitchen, and she said to me, we were looking out at the Hudson River. She had a house on the Hudson River, and we're looking out at the Hudson. And she said, your writing is like the Hudson River. She said, one time a workman said to me, look out at the Hudson. It's all smooth and calm on top, but underneath, it's wild. and that just felt wonderful to me. And I love that kind of dichotomy in writing and in life. We see it all the time. So I like that.
What an amazing thing to have said about your work.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice to hear. Yeah, just that boiling, roiling underneath, but on the surface, super calm.
Yeah. The name of the new novel is Starting From Here. It is published by Random House. Paula Saunders, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Congratulations on Publication Day. Congratulations on the new book. And I thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Joe. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Be well. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Starting From Here, a novel by Paula Saunders, author of The Distance Home. The book is published by Random House. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.